Shop OmahaSteaks.com. Give Dad the legendary Heartland quality he deserves for Father's Day. Plus, our listeners get $35 off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. When it comes to Father's Day, some things never change. Dads want steak. Yes, yes, I do. A recent survey shows 75% of Americans agree there's no better way to spend Father's Day than grilling with the family. I agree. I love nothing more than hanging out with the fam, going to the pool, drinking, and having some great meats. Omaha Steaks is the best in the biz. Also love their burgers as well. Talked about those a couple weeks ago on here with the burgers. Those smash burgers, man, they're phenomenal. They're pre-packaged, pre-smashed, all that other stuff. And I know you're saying to yourself, well, what's the difference? It's just a patty or whatever. It's not. They're caramelized and seared and all that other fun stuff there. And it literally goes from freezer to bun in 5 minutes. And that's the truth. Anybody out there who's got kids who tear through these things and then you want to make them real quickly and everything else, my wife was able to dial these in and rip through a whole package of, I think it was 16 free is what we got in the last box.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, they're phenomenal. Omaha Steaks has been America's original butcher since 1917, family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. They also carry mouth-watering burgers, chicken, pork, seafood, desserts, and easy-to-prepare comfort food. This Father's Day, give Dad the world's best steak experience with Omaha Steaks. Visit OmahaSteaks.com for guaranteed perfect gifts that deliver legendary quality, and for an extra $35 off, use promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. That's OmahaSteaks.com, and you're going to get an extra $35 off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. Head on over to that site, man. You can get lost in there, by the way. Bob, is that it up there?
Yeah.
What else do they have? I ordered burgers and steak last time.
I'm messing around with their seafood section here. They got lobster, shrimp, freaking crab.
Do they really?
Yeah, dude.
I haven't ordered that. I haven't ordered that yet. All right.
King crab legs, jumbo lump crab meat if you don't feel like cracking it open.
Yeah, let's go. Okay. I was unaware of that game.
Look at these thick puppies.
Yeah. I was just a steak boy and everything else. I didn't want to say, hey, wife, cook me a lobster for dinner, like Henry VIII or something like that. But I will now. Shit, if they can just drop it off at the house, that'd be great. I didn't want to go to the fucking grocery store and get it, which is exactly what Omaha Steaks does. They just drop it off right at your doorstep.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase plus a free 4-year warranty. That's tonal.com for $500 off plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Drinking Bros is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Browse the web without being tracked or monitored. Go to expressvpn.com/drinkingbros to protect yourself today.
Oh, D'Anthony, here we are, brother.
Yes.
Another episode of Drinking Bros. We got Will Chesney on the show tonight.
Yep, we do.
Former Navy SEAL.
Author of No Ordinary Dog.
Goddamn right.
Which is the story of Cairo, the yep. dog who was there at the Bin Laden raid.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy, right?
Yeah, it is crazy.
It's almost been 10 years since the Bin Laden raid.
It's getting close.
Yeah, where were you when you heard?
Ooh, man, let's see, what year was that, 2011?
Uh-huh.
In May 1st, 2011.
Yeah.
I would have been in Wisconsin.
No shit. You don't remember like where you were, and it was like, oh man.
I was on an airplane actually, I think, when the news came out.
Okay.
Yeah. So I didn't hear about it until like 3 or 4 hours later. And as the plane was getting ready to land, my phone started working again, and it's just like text, news alert. I'm like, oh shit, something went down.
Yeah.
So I started checking, I'm like, holy shit. And then they announced it on the airplane. It's like, we want to let you know, since everybody's getting service again, that Bin Laden's been killed.
Did the whole plane fucking erupt?
Yeah, of course it did.
That's awesome.
It didn't blow up though, because you know he's
obviously
Bin Laden was dead.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
He wasn't there to.
Yeah, clack off. Old.
yep.
Yeah, I was out at a bar. Huge shock. But I heard the news at a bar, and everybody stopped when the president came on to speak about it.
But I feel like everybody by then knew what it was going to be.
We did, yeah. And everybody was kind of texting and saying what had gone down. And, you know, I mentioned it to Will in the upcoming interview, how The Rock, ironically, was the first one who had tweeted about it and was just like, huh? And then some other friends had tweeted and was just like, all right, maybe this is real and maybe it's going down.
Yeah.
And it was on a Sunday night where... It was one of those nights for us where I think we were just at a normal dinner, you know, like one of those restaurant/bars things. And everyone ordered drinks after that. So, you know, everybody was celebrating like, oh, shit, this is amazing. And I remember seeing those images in New York City of like Times Square.
Yeah.
People starting to show up in Times Square and with the American flags.
Like Yankee Stadium and shit.
Yeah, man.
That was crazy.
Yeah. It was a cool moment, man. And
I think that was one of those periods in time we haven't seen it recently. Like after 9/11 we saw a period of time where no one cared about politics, and then we saw one after Bin Laden was dead. But I kind of expected that to happen when someone, frankly, disappointed that didn't happen when someone like Soleimani was killed. I expected it, because that guy is responsible for the fucking 83 Beirut bombings, the first act of like terrorism like that from the Arab community.
Yeah, a lot of those IEDs, right? Didn't he invent it? Or
well, that they vehicle-borne IEDs blow up the Marine base in Beirut, killed fucking a bunch of Marines. Mm-hmm. All sorts of stuff this guy's been involved in. He is the architect of the relationship between the terrorists on the Sunni and Shia side. He's the architect of that relationship.
Right.
Plus, he's a direct connect to Russian shit. I expected when that guy died that it would be like Bin Laden dying, and it wasn't. So I don't know when we're going to see something like that again, like one of those cathartic, apolitical moments that happen where everybody's like, fucking, there we go.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, in particular with Bin Laden, it was so infamous what had happened, obviously. And like, he was the guy and he was on the run forever and you couldn't find him. And then there was, well, we're never going to find him. Or, you know, there was also rumors, too, that he had died in the mountains and that we would never know that he died. And all these hidden recordings and recordings coming out and all this other shit. With Soleimani, he was there and
people,
he was hiding
in
plain sight. Again, and he, you're right. People didn't really know who he was.
But he's the architect of a lot of, like, look, the U.S. got itself into a lot of trouble by getting involved in Middle Eastern politics, by like helping to overthrow the fucking democratically elected Iranian government and all sorts of other shit.
Right.
Not following up on the Cold War and providing funding and education in Afghanistan. We did a lot of stuff wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy was the architect of terrorism in the modern world. Like what we know as terrorism now, this guy is largely responsible for it. I really expected there to be some cathartic moment after he died. But no, it was like, you didn't have the right to kill that guy. You're trying to start a war.
Dude's
been murdering Americans for 40 years, bitch. Fuck you. If I see him on the street, he's dead.
Yeah.
Like, that's our attitude. He was a target of opportunity.
I always thought in our lifetime, because I was trying to think about this before we did the show today, who would be next. And I thought for sure it would have been Kim Jong-un.
Here's the problem with North Korea. If we overthrow them, then we have to govern that shit.
Right.
And we're not doing that.
But I thought he would have been taken out sooner or later. I didn't think it was going to happen like this with a botched heart surgery and that's it.
Is he really dead?
I think he's dead. Do you?
I don't know. Who knows?
Speaking of Bin Laden, Rob O'Neill, Rob O'Neill says he's dead.
Yeah.
So does Dakota.
I don't know if... I don't know. I can't. I'm trying to think of a good reason, and I can't, why North Korea would not just put him out there if he was alive. Like, if he is
exactly, if he
is alive, you would think, because, look, if you're a leader of a country, especially an authoritarian country, and you fake your death or something, or don't, or there's a rumor that you're dead, you get out there and squash that, because if you don't, there's always a power vacuum in a place like that.
Oh, yeah.
There's always people who are on the second and third tiers trying to work their way up, always. That's how fucking authoritarian governments work.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't, he's got to be dead, right? He's got to be.
Yeah, and look, there was a newspaper article that came out maybe 2 days ago where they had a picture of him at a ribbon cutting ceremony.
It was a TGI Fridays, I think.
Yeah, he was ordering endless appetizers. Because that's what they're doing on Fridays now. he was getting mozzarella sticks, endless mozz sticks, over and over again, and he exploded. No, they put out a picture in the North Korean paper of him at a ribbon cutting ceremony for something, and they said, no, he's alive, he's doing fine, and everybody should believe this. And it's like, come on, man. Yeah. Like, you've got to do something public with a newspaper next to your fucking face.
Well, do you remember those?
I think he's brain dead. Me, personally, I think he's brain dead, and they're just trying to figure out the succession.
Yeah. Do you remember those photos they put up on social media and to the press a couple of years ago, where it was like they photoshopped – they took this old computer bank that they had,
mm-hmm.
and it was like old school fucking tube monitor style computers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they clearly had photoshopped like very advanced graphics on them. So like, that computer can't even do that, dude. What are you doing? And it's him sitting there like, oh, yeah, it's like a stock photo that no one paid enough attention to. Fucking dumb. So I he's got to be dead.
I think so. I think he's brain dead, and they're trying to figure out who's going to take over. That's my personal guess. But I would have said it, my money would have been on him getting taken out. Because, like, after that, going down the list, right, you probably have Putin on there.
No, we wouldn't. Putin,
but he's a president of a country. Putin Putin, he's not really a terrorist.
While we disagree with him on a lot of things, he is a reasonable human being. He really is. And you can tell from that video where he grabbed his dog out of the hands of that fucking foreign minister's arms. Like, he saw the guy holding him up by the nape of his neck, and the dog was getting uncomfortable. He was like, oh, give me that dog. Putin is just a guy that was raised in a different culture, and his allegiance lies in his country. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, I can deal with a guy like that. We're going to have disagreements. Maybe they turn into, like, little scuffles here and there, but you can disagree with a guy like that and move on. The people in China, it's more difficult, right? And North Korea is like China, but with Down syndrome.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they don't, and I don't mean that I don't mean they're literally retarded, but they don't have any information.
Right.
Like, they are complete. They don't have the physical capacity to make, or the mental capacity to make good decisions at the world level, because they don't have any of the information. Like, some of those people in that country don't even know there's an outside world.
No, not at all.
Like, it's crazy as fuck.
No.
So if you were to invade that country and kill those people, or kill the leaders in that country, you would have to, like, spend probably 20 years educating people on the rest of the world and how the world works.
We need more famous terrorists is what we need.
I like the eco terrorist from Captain Planet.
So
the one dude with the pig nose was pretty cool.
I'm going to bring up the guy that had a huge Facebook campaign. Do you remember that guy?
A terrorist?
He was, God damn it, man. No, he was in Africa, and it was alleged that he was killing all these people.
Coney.
That's it, Coney.
Yeah, Coney 2016 or whatever.
I thought Coney was going to be the guy where it was just like, all right, there's a terrorist we can all get behind, right?
Is that dude still alive?
Not only is he still alive, but the guy who founded it was bilking all this money, and he lost his shit. So he lost his mind and was taking a bunch of drugs. And they found him walking buck naked through the streets of San Diego. White guy.
Well, I mean,
who had started the Coney Fund.
That's not, what's her name? Ellen's wife, not Ellen's wife. It's not her. Who was the woman that did a bunch of ecstasy and woke up in somebody else's living room? Was that Harrison Ford's?
No, it's not Harrison Ford's wife.
God, you know who I'm talking about, though.
Yeah, I know you're talking about, and I wouldn't have kicked her out of the house either.
Oh, no, maybe it was Ellen's wife.
The woman her ex-wife.
From Arrested Development. What's her name?
No, you're talking about Portia de Rossi.
That's
Ellen's
one.
Wife.
The old one, then.
Fuck,
I don't remember her name, but she like woke up in somebody's living room.
Which
after
is great.
Doing ecstasy all night. Hey, look, Tom Brady just did it the other day.
He did.
He just walked into the wrong house. I don't know how you do that. Like, if you're maybe Tom Brady just like expects to be let into any door that he puts his hand on the door handle.
I can see that woman's face in my mind. I cannot remember her name, but I think you're right. I think it was Ellen's first ex-girlfriend. You're right. But she rolled in on ecstasy and then asked to take a shower at that guy's house. And
I think
he called the police. Same here. And I would have let her stay. Great. Let's party. Mm-hmm. Let's figure it out. She was in that Vince Vaughn movie. She was the attorney. Yeah. It's gonna eat you up. It's gonna eat you up inside.
There are people at home yelling her name at us right now.
Screaming at
the
radio.
We cannot hear you because we recorded this prior, and also you are in your home.
Do you know who Ellen's first ex-girlfriend was, Giorgio? Yeah. Look it up. This is gonna kill me if we don't get it. I love how we have the dog handler from the Bin Laden raid on.
Was it Ann Heche?
That's Ann Heche. Yes. Yeah. God damn it, we got it, Ann Heche. I love it. We have the dog handler from the Bin Laden raid, but all you and I care about is Ann Heche.
I already talked to him
on ecstasy, walking into somebody's house demanding to take a shower.
Yeah. Well, hey, look. I mean, it was.
Yeah. Funny. So with Coney, man, we need more famous terrorists. Because that's the only way we're going to have another huge party like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, don't mess with cats. Like, put shit out on social media and make this guy unpopular.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
So, yeah, Coney's still alive, right? That's still going on.
He is the, according to Wikipedia, he's still the leader of the Lord's Resistance Army, a guerrilla group operating in Uganda.
There you go.
I don't know how that relates to Ugandan knuckles or anything, but.
How much money did they raise for that guy? It was something crazy.
Yeah.
And again, you can look it up on YouTube. The guy who started it, the white guy, buck naked.
Lost his mind.
Screaming through the streets of San Diego. Yeah. And like a residential neighborhood. Like
maybe because.
Lost his mind. Well, there was rumors that there was pressure that, you know, people were like, oh, what are you doing with all these millions of dollars? Yeah. Are you stealing the money? Blah, 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 blah. And he's like, no, I'm looking for Coney. Coney never got caught. Like, it was a whole weird sitch, you know?
According to this article where is it? Oh, I lost it. Well, it's on Wikipedia now, but it says by April 2017, he was still at large, but his force had shrunk from, like, 3,000 people to right around 100. So, basically...
Maybe the money did something.
He's just running, like, a fraternity over there at this point. Mm-hmm. He's got 42 children, so that's 42 of them. So there's, like, 58 other people hanging out, I guess. I don't know if they count the kids in his gang or whatever this is.
I don't know how that works out. But if you're going to have a gang, you might as well have them be your own kids, you know?
Yeah, why not? I mean, that's what fucking Philip Rivers is doing for Indianapolis Colts.
10 kids.
Yeah.
10 kids.
No, one of them went to college. Ballard told us that one of them went to college, so
yeah, but that's
now he's
still,
only got 9 kids at the game.
He still counts as a kid, you know what I'm saying? In real life. Before we hop into the interview with Will, we got some sponsors to pay for this whole shit wagon to be on the air. First and foremost, talking about ghostbed.com/drinking bros. You think they put Bin Laden in a ghost bed after that?
No, I think they threw him into the ocean.
They didn't throw him. They wrapped him up in a sheet and all that other shit, right?
Then tossed
him. Don't you have to follow the rules of the Muslim world where you put them on a board and put them out to sea and all that shit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if they brought like a Muslim chaplain on board to do all that shit or not, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, I would assume they probably would have, because it was the Obama administration. It's such a cover your ass administration. They probably did that. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. I personally would have pissed on him.
Isn't Obama, he's Muslim, right?
No.
Oh, he's not?
No.
That's not real?
Why would he be Muslim?
I don't know. That's what I heard.
No.
Yeah, that's the rumor.
No, he's not.
You never know.
His mom was a Christian lady from Hawaii.
But the dad was from Kenya.
Yeah, but he never even met that motherfucker.
Did he meet his mom?
This one time.
I don't know his life.
I swear
story,
to God,
to
this one time, my friend, I guess I was in the Army, so I was like 26 maybe. She called me and she's like, hey, I'm pregnant. Like, her and her husband, like, hey, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, oh, cool. Are you sure that you're the mom? And there was a 15-second pause, or what seemed like 15 seconds, where she was trying to figure out if she was stupid or if I'm stupid.
Yeah.
Like, one of us is stupid, and I don't know who it is yet until I figure this part out. It turned out to be both of us.
Both of us,
actually, because yeah. She participated in my bullshit.
Yeah.
She was the mom.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. And she had that baby?
It's
Good for her.
We had that baby.
Hopefully she had it on a ghost bed, you know?
Yeah.
By the way, the offer still stands. If you conceived a child in a ghost bed and you have video of it and you can provide it to Dan Holloway.
I need the conception and I need proof that the baby is alive now. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah. You can send that to our Instagrams, at Dan Holloway, at STJames, STJames on Instagram. We just need to verify it and then we'll get you a mattress. We spoke to the fine people at Ghost Bed. And they said that they were okay with it. You know?
They want there to be more drinking bros. So they're like, yeah, we'll support that.
Have another kid.
Yeah.
Have a kid on a mattress. Yeah. Look, they're going to do that 25% off sale all through the quarantine, which is great. So they're in it with everyone. And let's face it, if you're stuck inside your house, you might as well have a comfortable mattress. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. 25% off everything in the store. And as always, they get a 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Mm. Next up, we got DukeCannon.com. D'Anthony, my favorite, dude.
Big fan.
It's become one of my faves. This is the finest body wash in the land. I'm going to hold it up to camera here. So it's $9 for one of these big guys, right? They only have four amazing scents of it. I love the Old Glory. You're the Naval Supremacy guy.
I am.
Everybody was already a fan of this anyways, and you're like, hey, man, can you please get them on the show and get a promo code for them? They're a veteran-owned company.
Yeah, it's one of the bigger. So, I mean, for veteran-owned companies, there's a couple of big ones, like Duke Cannon, Black Rifle Coffee is one of them.
Yep.
By the way.
Drinking Bros 20 at Black Rifle Coffee.
That's right, yes. And Kill Cliff, who we'll get to in a second. Yep. But so there was a funny thing that happened with Black Rifle over the weekend. Because of Trudeau's new bullshit with assault rifles, there was a company called Black Rifle Company in Canada that got shut down.
Right.
And people were like DMing me like, hey, Black Rifle get banned in Canada? I'm like, no. But that would have been great PR, wouldn't
it? It's next. You know it's coming, right?
Dan Sharp Pop Smoke, for those out there that don't know who he is, he said like, hey, you guys, maybe you should tell him to fucking... pay some dictator to ban Black Rifle there for good PR. I'm like, yeah, it's not a bad idea.
Anyway. For real, I don't think it's that far away.
No, get Putin to come out. Like, just fuck because Black of the Rifle name? Coffee, oh, man. Yeah. Fuck you.
Just because of the name, I guarantee you that's the next step for like a guy like Trudeau. A cuck like Trudeau.
He is a fold your penis in half and slide it into a vagina kind of guy, if he even gets close.
Yeah, to a vagina. Yeah. But if you are getting close to a vagina, you better use some Duke Cannon body wash. Yep. Best in the biz. Again, veteran-owned company. Promo code Drinking Bros gets you 15% off. You get 4 for $30, and it lasts forever. Mine's the Old Glory. I'm curious everybody else's faves, but this was one that you guys reached out to us and said, please get a promo code. We love them. We use them forever, and luckily they were cool with it.
Yeah. It took a little while, but the current bottle I'm on now, I think I've had for 45 days, about 45 days, and it's still got about maybe an eighth left. Yeah. So you're talking about like almost 2 months worth in one of these fucking $9 bottles.
Yeah, man.
Like you can't go wrong with this stuff.
It's amazing. We're gigantic fans of Duke Cannon. Go to DukeCannon.com. Promo code Drinking Bros for 15% off and free shipping. And these things are big and they're heavy, so that free shipping is something you need. Next up, we got KillCliffCBD.com. Man, I love them. I'm amped every time I get to read them because I drink the shit every day. I drink a can literally every day after work. Mm-hmm. We've been tripling up on shows here for all of them, from Drinking Broettes to Ross Patterson Revolution to Drinking Bros, Drinking Bros Sports. We've been doubling down on all the episodes, and I've been drinking a lot of CBD on the way home to keep the old voice going every day. 25 milligrams in every can, 3 amazing flavors. We got Orange Kush, Mango, and the grapest of all time. The grape's my jam. I know I've said it a million times. There's no THC in it, so you will not piss hot on a drug test. 80% of our listeners are either military or first responder, and we know you guys got to take drug tests. Killcliff is the only name you can trust in the CBD world. So go to killcliffcbd.com today. Get a case of this shit. Is it 30% off or did it just end?
I think after Mother's Day, they went back down to 20.
Damn it.
Yep.
Just damn it. 20% off. Still a monster savings and free shipping.
Yeah.
With the promo code Drinking Bros at killcliffcbd.com. Yet another veteran-owned company.
Yep.
Which is great. And last but not least, we got MacWeldon.com. New to the show, Dan.
They're very comfy.
Very comfy. Very comfy.
I like their men's panties.
Mm-hmm.
They're very comfortable. They don't cost...
Pantaloons?
They don't cost like $50.
Yep.
Like another... There's this company out there, and they have a dude's first name followed by another dude's first name.
Uh-huh.
And that's the name of their company. And they charge an exorbitant amount of money for a plain white t-shirt and a pair of men's panties, okay?
Yes.
Just, I need quality shit that's not expensive.
It's affordable.
God damn it.
So MacWeldon, look, man, you can sign up. Phase one, you get free shipping. Phase two, boom, you spend $200, you get 20% off.
Yeah.
And you stay through that, kids. You get 20% off for the entire year. Right now at MacWeldon.com, you get 20% off with the promo code Drinking Bros at checkout. Buy everything you possibly can.
Go for those t-shirts, especially.
I know.
If you're working in an office, or you're wearing a fucking uniform that has a white shirt under it, not a tan one, not a military one, man, you go through those shirts so fucking fast.
Yeah.
Like I've turned it on where it just like automatically ships socks to my house now.
Yeah. Best in the biz, dude. Yeah. Go to MacWeldon.com. Promo code Drinking Bros, 20% off. And then everybody was asking, because there's another UFC fight tomorrow night,
yep,
whether or not the promo code for mybookie.com of Drinking Bros is still doubles your deposit. It does. I didn't get any confirmation of why. You know, we looked at these dates a few weeks back, you and I,
yep,
and we had John Anik on the show.
Yep.
I didn't get any confirmation as to why UFC is dropping a Wednesday night.
I don't know. Yeah.
Event.
I mean, I think they're just trying to put content out there, to be honest.
It's awesome. And I'm all fucking for it.
It's that and Korean baseball. Wake up at 5 a.m. tomorrow and you can watch Korean baseball on ESPN. I'm not kidding.
I know.
Like, that's it. So
I know.
Like,
but the fact that Dana White said, fuck it, we're going on a Wednesday is great, because there's nothing out. And all of these shows, even Tyler Gray, like for SEAL Team.
Yeah.
Their season finale ended, and that's it, man.
It wasn't even the season finale. They
didn't get to shoot it.
Yeah, so well, they'll pick it back up because this is, I guess, semi-breaking news, but they got renewed for season 4.
Yeah, there we go.
So they're going to be in, by the end of this next season, they're going to be in syndication, which means Tyler is pretty much good.
Yeah, good for
all
Tyler.
Those guys.
Man,
AJ Buckley,
fucking
Max Terrio, fucking good. David Boreanaz. All of them, fucking Neil Brown Jr.
Neil
all
Brown, that's awesome.
Judd's great. The whole fucking
crew is
great.
It's a big deal, man, because as an actor, to get on a show like that, once you hit syndication, you pretty much retire.
Yeah.
That's the dirty secret.
Yep.
But it's awesome, man. But the problem is, it's fucking hard. None of this shit goes to syndication.
It's easy. You know, streaming has actually made it
so
easier.
So hard.
Because it's 88 episodes instead of 100 now.
Right, but the pay is less. So
it is, yes.
You don't get the same residuals.
Yep.
If you're on a network television show, that is still the highest amount of money you can make as an actor.
Yep.
So good for Tyler, man. That's fucking awesome. I told you to get picked up. I mean,
yeah.
Shit.
They do great.
Either,
they
hardly.
Do great.
Yeah, yeah. And we love the show. We love Tyler, all those guys out there. That's great news. And again, man, if you're tomorrow night, if you're watching the UFC fight, which we will be, mybookie.com, promo code Drinking Bros doubles your deposit. I know. We are. We're gambling the
shit. I'm gambling
out of these
on
shit.
Things. Like, I was walking around in my neighborhood.
I'm not
yesterday.
Betting the Korean baseball, by the way. No. A lot of people were asking us, I'm not doing it.
You don't, I do, but you don't bet regular season baseball.
I don't.
Because you don't follow it the way I do. I mean, you
it's not
follow
that.
It.
I just, it's junky shit. Like, there's too many games.
But that to me is more challenging.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, it
definitely is.
I feel like it helps me strategy wise later on. When the playoffs start, because I don't do it every day, but I do it on a regular enough basis where I'm keeping track of what KPIs, key performance indicators, mean, what, you know what I mean? So I think it's, you know.
Friends of mine who do bet on baseball go against the big pitcher. So, like, you know, a Clayton Kershaw, the odds are going to be monstrous if you take the other team any night that he's pitching.
Yeah, so you bet a smaller amount against him. Right?
Correct.
You can make more money.
So I have some friends that do that. I can't get down on it, man. It's baseball's so long.
Well, that's
this,
like grinding it out. That's
be
like,
different,
that's
though.
Like day trading stocks, though. You're just grinding it out. For, for people that enjoy the sport itself, that's really not all that. I mean, you're trying to grind it out to make money at that point.
Yeah,
that's just like following the algorithm to make money. That's not like my
it's
team's
like day trading.
Yeah, my team's playing. I want them to win. I'm going to bet on my fucking team. That's not the same thing.
Yeah, but I'll be betting on these fights tomorrow night.
Oh,
at mybookie.com promo code Drinking Bros doubling that deposits. D'Anthony,
we need more to gamble on.
We do. We get a monster show tonight. Yeah, we got a monster show tonight. Will, he's a man of few words, but you can tell he's seen some shit and lived through some shit. He's on one of the biggest missions of all time.
Yep.
Jamie, why don't you get us into this interview, please, with Mr. Will Chesney. Welcome to Drinking Bros. We got a big guest on today.
Yeah.
Monster of a man.
He is a, he's a, you know, even if not in stature.
Yes.
He's still a monster of a man.
Monster of a man, I would say. We got Will Chesney on the show. Any relation, Will?
No relation.
To Kenny. Do you know Kenny's whole sitch?
Nah, what's going on?
He's there's a rumor that he's a gay man, that he's a homosexual man.
Why would he not just be gay though?
I don't know. He got married to Renee Zellweger, and then
she looks like a dude, kind of.
Yeah. And then they got divorced 2 days later.
Maybe that's like a transition period for him.
Yeah. Are you married? Are you married to a man or a woman?
No, not married. I have a girlfriend.
Yeah. Do you? Is it complicated?
It's complicated sometimes.
It's goddamn right it is. It's always complicated.
Should be.
Yeah, buddy.
You wrote a book called No Ordinary Dog that is out everywhere, which was written for your dog, Cairo, who was on the Osama bin Laden raid in 2011. That's a crazy story, man. Why did it take so long to get a book written about it now, you think?
We just took our time writing it. It wasn't an easy process. Working with Joe Layden was nice. It made things easier, at least on my end. And he helped me put together a great story. And then we also had to get it approved. The approval process takes a little bit as well sometimes.
Yeah, the Department of Defense. So for Matt's book, if you haven't bought it, you can buy that too. Thank You For My Service. You can bang both books, get both of them. Thank You For My Service and No Ordinary Dog out now. This one took 17 months at the DOD. I had to send an email. I still remember her name to this day, Kelly McHale. I sent her an email for 53 straight weeks. Every Friday at 4 o'clock, I did it Andy Dufresne style from Shawshank Redemption.
Nice.
Yeah. Did you have to go through the same thing?
We just waited a long time, but it all finally ended up getting approved.
So you waited it out. You didn't have to email or have your lawyers call or anything.
I think some people called for me. But I never had to call.
Look at how secretive this one is. Holy shit.
Well, I mean, it seems like how many edits did you have to do after it came back from the DOD?
I think only one edit.
Oh shit.
Oh really?
Yeah, we
they made
what
they,
was the yeah. yeah, what was the redaction? Do you remember?
Just stuff they didn't want in the book, man.
Yeah.
You know, ours
do a deal.
Well, no, because that's why I'm curious.
Some of
yours
it was
were.
Stupid. Like they wanted to remove, like I think Matt referred to somebody as a James Bond or some shit.
Yes,
and they made him remove that out. Like everybody, what the fuck? Why is that though? The line,
the word James Bond was redacted. There was another part with Inspector Gadget that was redacted.
Nice.
Oof. Cool.
Don't know why.
It's super dumb.
Yeah, you don't remember what your redactions were?
There's a couple simple things, and there were some things that I understood about
yeah.
gear and
yeah.
things. But,
I mean, that's a pretty serious situation.
Buried. Yeah, there was some things that I wrote in there about the process to go through like Q school and stuff, and they took out, and they were like, "Hey, man, we don't really want anybody else knowing."
Right.
That I understood, and I was fine with. The other shit where I was just like the word pod, they wouldn't let the word pod be in there if you were, you know, like sleeping in a pod overseas.
Mm. I don't think we use the word pod.
Strange.
Some random stuff.
Ugh.
Strange. And I had to imagine for you, you know, you worked with another author. What was his name?
Joe Layden.
Joe Layden, yeah.
Great guy.
And then working with a dog is obviously difficult because the dog doesn't speak English. So I'm sure that took a while.
It took a little bit when I started handling Cairo just to get the voice affliction down to, you know, the emotions run up and down the leash when it comes to dog training.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's funny.
I had to get that
Mike Ritland said the same thing.
Yeah. yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're surrounded by a bunch of team guys, and you know, it's nothing but jokes. So for you to clap your hands and all that crap around a bunch of guys, it's like, it took me a minute to come around, but it's all about communicating with the dog. The dog can't talk. You know, he doesn't know what you're saying. You know, he understands that.
Right. Did they let the dog read the audiobook?
Yeah, I actually had one of my dogs in there with me, Nala. I did. So if you hear things in the background, that's
oh, and yeah, that's funny. Nala. That's funny.
Is that real?
Yeah.
So the dog's barking in the background of the audiobook?
She doesn't bark. She didn't move the whole time. She slept through the whole thing.
Oh. Did you read your own audiobook, or did they have somebody else? Did they have like the British guy?
No, I read my own audiobook. I narrated it.
That's good.
Yeah. They said that people like it when you narrate your own book.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. They love it. It's funny, man. I had, because my first one was in 2015, and they bitched. They wanted that British guy. It used to be this British guy that used to read like, I don't know, 80 or 90% of them. And then it all kind of switched shortly after that. How long did that process take you?
It took 5 or 6 days. It took a minute.
Yeah.
It was harder than I thought it would be. That's what she said. But yeah, no, it took.
Nailed it.
The first day really surprised me. You're got to, you know, sit there with this microphone in your face. Yeah, you got to speak right into the microphone. Read every sentence perfectly.
Yeah.
Proper, try to put some, and then it wears on your voice after a little while. So the next day I was feeling it. I was a little surprised, but.
Strange,
I guess,
right?
It was well worth it.
Yeah, because you go into day three of that and you have no voice whatsoever. And you're just like, God damn it, man. If I fuck up this one phrase one more time, I'm going to shoot myself.
Seriously.
I could see you raging out in the booth. Just like punching the goddamn plexiglass out.
It was a little frustrating. It was by the end of the day, I was pretty spent. Yeah, I'm sure you were the same.
Yeah. But, what would you say is harder, going through Buds or going through an audiobook?
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. It's a toss.
It's a long 6 days in a sound booth, my man.
Yeah, it's worth it. Everybody, I didn't think they would actually want me to read it, but I guess that's. Everybody seems to like it too. I didn't know how well I did, but
yeah, it's one of those things. Okay. It's the same with podcasts, man, where audio is taken over. And you know, look, the people always bitch that our shows aren't long enough.
Yeah,
and they always want longer shows. And it's like, hey, man, there's audiobooks out there if you want to hear
all of us
speak longer.
We're doing a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, Matt read his own as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, the typical average audiobook is about 6 hours plus. Mm-hmm.
It's 6 to 9 hours. Yeah.
Yeah. Depending upon how long it is. Yeah.
And if you do it perfectly every single second of that book, then it's 6 to 9 hours of recording time, but that is not going to happen.
No,
that ain't going to happen.
Yeah. No fucking way.
That's not what,
especially not with military dudes. Cause we use like fuck as a comma in our sentences all the time.
Right.
Like, so anyways, fucking, dot, dot, dot. You know what I mean? I can't imagine. I haven't had to do that yet. I'm glad that I haven't had to, because I think I would rage the fuck out.
I think you'd be pretty good at it. Well, it's one of those things, once you get used to it, like Matt got in a good groove after the first day, and then he was able to carry it through. We hired a bunch of actors, so like they're interjecting, and that kind of helps break it up. But yeah, the first one was brutal once you get used to it. Any interest in writing another book one day?
Well, you guys,
not right now. We'll see what happens.
You guys have
we have a young adult
kind of another book. It's the young adult version, which I don't know. What is that? Are you trying to like frame the story differently to explain the dog and war to them, or is it just less profanity? What is it?
Yeah, less profanity. It's just for kids to read. So teenage kids. When I donated Cairo's vest to the 9/11 museum, one of the guys there kind of reminded me of a few things. One of them was, a lot of children don't know what 9/11 is. It's been a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And how they do relate when they come to the museum is like, they look at helmets, fireman helmets, and boots. And anything dog related kind of gets the point across. I think this story in a children's book kind of way is great. And I hope kids learn a lot from it. Everybody seems to be loving the first book. So
yeah, it's doing great. And the second, actually the kid's book, I'm really interested in that. Cause I wonder, have you guys thought at all about turning that into a graphic novel or some shit like that? Because I think that would destroy with like a little cart, like Cairo, the cartoon dog, but like it makes it real for some of these younger kids. Like they don't understand. Like you said, there's this whole new generation, whatever they're called, whatever their names are. It's Generation Y maybe, or whatever the fuck.
Generation Archangel now, according to Elon Musk.
God,
so.
That guy. Oh, man, he's crazy.
Yeah.
I like it. But they don't know what 9/11. You're right. They don't know what 9/11 is. They have no idea why we've been at war for 18 years. They have no idea.
No, because they're still in school, and that, you know, that happened after they were born. So you forget it was 19 years ago at this point now.
Almost, yeah.
Almost. And, you know, I kind of look, I'm fascinated by your story. And before we get into the Bin Laden raid, I kind of want to learn a little bit about you. Where did you grow up?
Southeast Texas, a small town. Grew up like any Texas kid, played a little football.
Mm-hmm.
We lived in a trailer park, so like we were super poor, but I had to work. So if I wanted a car, so I quit playing football, got a job. Nothing too crazy. As soon as I could, I signed up for the Navy. I decided I wanted to be a SEAL maybe around middle school. I loved the water. My grandpa, he was in the Navy. You know, I wanted to test myself, see if I had what it took. And, you know, I signed up as soon as I could just to get out. I didn't want to go to college. College really wasn't.
In the cards.
I was really passionate.
Let's be real, though.
I didn't have anything.
It wasn't because your grandfather was in the Navy or because you liked water. You watched Navy SEALs. And Charlie Sheen became your hero, and then you wanted to be a SEAL, right? That's what happened.
I read a bunch of books. I watched the movies. Yeah, of course, man.
There's people,
but I do love the water.
People forget about all those books. Like there were a ton of books when we were growing up,
mm-hmm.
like Inside Delta Force that Sergeant Major wrote, and then like God, there were a bunch of them. There were a bunch of books about special operations. Everybody like talks so much shit about people writing books now,
right?
But the first Sergeant Major and the first Commander of Delta. Both wrote books. So I feel like just shut the fuck up, man.
Yeah.
Let's just enjoy the information. Stop giving people like Will and Matt hard times about what they're writing about. Look, it's interesting material, and it's the best recruiting tool that you'll ever have.
I agree.
Seeing real personalities who are actual operators talking about what they did, that there's no better recruiting tool. Like, no movie. Like, Navy SEALs was great. It was a great movie, but... No movie has ever recruited more people into a specific branch of the military than Black Hawk Down. So many dudes are Rangers because of that fucking movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the best recruitment tool ever. Because it was real.
Yeah.
It wasn't some bullshit like, you know, Chuck Norris is Chuck Norris and all. But that movie, Delta Force, those movies, Delta Force he made, those are fucking retarded. Like he's running around in a cutoff denim shirt, like a sleeveless denim shirt buttoned up. With two Uzis fighting off a whole village of fucking Vietnamese. It was like, come on, man. What
come
the fuck
on,
is this shit?
Brother. Let me ask you this. It's got to be surreal that you've grew up in a trailer park and now you're right. Like you wrote a book, man, that's out everywhere with a major publisher. How crazy is that? Yeah. Did you ever dream that growing up in a trailer park?
No, not really. So it's pretty cool. And everybody seems to be loving it. So
yeah.
That was important to me, man. It's a piece of history. I wanted to tell Cairo's story right, and everybody's loving it.
Of course, man. How hard is Buds, by the way?
Oh, they make you want it, that's for sure. 6-7 months. I mean, like, the way I've kind of put it lately is like, you literally have to be willing to sacrifice your life for your brothers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jump on a grenade like that, that's no joke. So the guys are there just to say that they're Navy SEALs. You got to really want it, man. They make you...
Was there one guy in particular you were trying to call out right there? Maybe a guy from Las Vegas that tried to get a gun during the fucking
Anybody you know.
Because he doesn't
stop. I really have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't watch the...
Dan Bilzerian? No.
I don't watch the news much lately.
Are you checked out of it? Are you all done with it?
No. Well, I'm kind of back in it a little bit now, but...
Well, you personally are now, but as far as like, you know, watching, like, are you into like fake news? Do you watch it and man, this is all bullshit?
I don't really watch it much anymore. Sometimes I do. It just depends on what's going on, but I don't watch too much news now.
What do you
listen
watch?
To a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
A lot of podcasts, a lot of audiobooks, man. Yeah.
What other?
I live on the water and I got two Malinois. So they keep me busy, you know.
What other podcasts are you listening to?
You know, the big ones, Joe and Tim, mm-hmm. Marcus's,
mm-hmm.
any brain health, any nutrition. So, man, there's so many of them out there. There's Jordan Peterson here and there.
Yeah, okay. He's an interesting guy. I feel like he's the kind of guy that even if you don't agree with him, he has a lot of interesting shit to say, kind of like Dave Rubin. Like,
yeah.
I feel like you can completely disagree with that guy, but he very rarely takes shit personally. He's mm-hmm. just like, here's the information as I understand it. I like guys like that.
Same.
Same. It doesn't really matter to me what they believe, because for me, it's still enriching. There's still an experience and a perspective that he's describing that can make me maybe learn more outside of what I already know.
Yeah.
And I don't see a whole lot of that on the left anymore, unfortunately.
No.
Like, you used to see a lot of it.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be, there used to be a lot of fucking, like, center-left authors, like, that would really write, like, even not necessarily Gonzo-style journalism, but they really got down into it and wrote real shit. Yep. And now, like, David Engel or Richard Engel used to be like that. Now mm-hmm. he's kind of, like, become a shill. It's really disappointing.
Yeah, man, it's a different world out there today. Let me ask you, how long were you in the military before you got the Bin Laden raid, you know, tossed onto your lap?
I was in for 13 years. I got out in 2015, I think it was. So I'm in 2011. Yeah, so I was in 10, 11 years.
Yeah, 10, 11. Did you know what you were getting into? Did they specifically say, hey, man, this is the Bin Laden raid? Is it like the movies and the TV shows and shit?
It's just like the movies. Who watched Zero Dark 30 with that handsome fella, Chris Pratt?
Speaking of Chris Pratt, he just got cast in our buddy Jack Carr's The Terminal List.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
No.
Yeah,
did he really?
So Amazon bought The Terminal List. Uh-huh. They're going to make a series, like a TV series out of it, and Chris Pratt is going to play the main character.
You're kidding.
It's fucking great. Yeah. Jack Carr is a badass, by the way. If you haven't watched his books yet, fucking read that shit.
That's amazing.
I got his book back there, and I can't wait. Yeah, Jack's a great guy.
I mean, that's a great guy. Yeah, that's the best fucking combination of people that could have possibly happened right there. I'm really excited about this fucking series.
That's fantastic.
Hopefully shit can get back to normal so they can actually fucking film it so we can see it. Because it's going to be, we're not going to see it until at earliest the fall of 2021, right?
Yeah.
Even if they started filming
now. Buddy, Jared Shaw on that too. Y'all guys know him. He's a great man.
He's going to be in the series?
He's having to do something with it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't know exactly. I don't talk to him much, but
that's awesome. Well, hey,
I just met.
Walk me through the Bin Laden raid. Were you guys training at Area 51 and all that shit?
We did some training. We just did training as normal. We just knew that who we were going after is different, but we were always training. You know, maybe we knew it was a little more dangerous because we figured it might have something rigged to blow up or
right.
Yeah, it might get more intense, but we plan some more contingencies. But,
are you surprised?
We're always ready for anything.
Are you surprised at all that he didn't like clack off an S vest or some shit? I know he didn't probably
have S vest.
Like I know he didn't. You know? He probably didn't have time to throw one on. I guess maybe I don't know in that situation. But are you surprised? Like Al Baghdadi kind of died like a coward too, and Bin Laden died trying to hold his wife in front of him. So I wonder if...
Don't they all like, kind of? But yeah, no, we were surprised. Yeah. We definitely thought something would be rigged to explode. That's why Cairo was a central role. I mean, the dogs always are a central role.
Yeah.
Did the dogs go
tool,
in?
Man.
Yeah, did the dogs go in first?
We did the perimeter first just to see if there's any escape routes.
But then the Hilo crashed, right? So that presents a whole other fucking challenge for the dog, especially because...
It actually wasn't that big of a deal. Those guys didn't skip a beat, man. That's what happens when you just put in that much training.
Yeah.
The guys didn't skip a beat. They fucking crushed it. The pilots crushed it. Like, seriously, think about how bad that could have gone. He's like, man, I'll fly that thing out of here. Like, okay, that's how badass you are. Good job. everybody didn't skip a beat. And that's like one thing nobody planned for.
Yeah, I don't think our helicopter pilots, especially helicopter pilots, get enough credit. Like, you watch the guy, We Were Soldiers. Remember that movie? That dude, Snake, his nickname was Snake Shit or whatever the fuck. That dude that he won all sorts of awards for it. But he was like, continuously with the only guy flying in, picking up wounded people, taking them out. Those guys are crazy as shit.
Yeah.
To fly that, because helicopters aren't really great at staying in the air. They crash a lot.
Right.
For fucking sometimes, like a one little fucking mechanical issue, and that bird is going down.
Yeah.
And you run into something that you can't see. You're flying like near ground level a lot. So it's not like you're 30,000 feet in the air. You're right there. I've almost, like on two separate raids, my helicopter pilot has had to bank to miss power lines in Iraq, right? And if we would have hit those, we would have been fucked.
Yeah.
Like we would have smashed in the ground. Everyone would have died. It was like this close to doing, like, holy shit. This is like a regular thing.
Just like there's a bunch of dog stories out there. There's a bunch of helicopter pilot stories, man. Those guys are good to go.
Well, there are a bunch of dog stories, but there aren't a whole lot of dog stories where the number one terrorist on earth gets killed.
Yeah, so. And I get a dumb question for you. Are you in one of those helicopters with the dogs, or how does that work?
Yeah, we didn't crash, though. We landed on the outside.
Oh, so you were in the other one?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I didn't know how that worked. Of like, all right, you load up everybody, or if there's, you know, you were on the ground first, and then you secure the perimeter with the dog.
Yeah, it was never any helicopter crashes. It was fortunate.
Gotcha.
You were never in any. That's surprising.
Yeah, you weren't, but the other plane was.
With the amount of kinetic operations that somebody in your position would have done, that's impressive that you've never been involved in a helicopter crash, to be honest.
Yeah, I was very fortunate, man. Yeah. A lot of guys were.
Yeah, a lot. I mean, we've had shit. Just during my deployment, we had three separate ones. One with our fucking brigade commander. Shit. Actually, two with our brigade commander.
He lived through both of them?
Yeah. I think he got shot through his testicle and lost a nut, though. On the second time it happened.
Fuck, man.
Yeah.
You were laughing at that. You big Lance Armstrong fan? Totally kidding.
Hey, well, he's from
that's
Texas.
A rough wound, man.
But yeah, it is.
That's not fun.
That's a hell of a story. I'm glad.
Well, you have a hell of a story, dude. You fucking helped kill Bin Laden, for Christ's sakes. Yeah. You don't seem that amped about it.
It was one of the best moments of my life. But just everybody on that team. I don't like talking about myself. It was like, I talk about Cairo. Never anybody could have replaced me on that team, man. If it wasn't for Cairo, I wouldn't have been on the mission. He's a great dog. He deserves that.
Did you get to see him after he died, after he got shot through the face?
I saw him, yeah.
Did you teabag him or anything like they do in Call of Duty?
For sure.
How funny would it have been if guys would have just stood around and take some cell video of them teabagging him? Because you don't play video games, but in first-person shooters...
I always wondered. Yeah, dude.
In first-person shooters, when you light somebody up, sometimes you'll walk over their corpse and teabag them and shit.
Yeah, like, yeah,
just
yeah.
Crouch up and down. I just wanted to know that maybe somebody on the Bin Laden raid did that. Just lie to me and tell me it happened, please.
Right? Is that not in robber business books?
Let me ask you, this is a serious
Rob's
question.
A character.
This is yes. Oh my God. I love drinking with Rob O'Neill.
He's the best.
One of my favorite human beings to drink with, actually. I have a serious question. At what point after did it hit you that you had just been part of probably one of the most famous operations in the history of this country? Like Bay of Pigs is a big one because it failed. Bin Laden raid's got to be right there, onesie twosie with that one, right?
I'd probably put Bin Laden at one, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, just because it's more recent, though. But the Bay of Pigs was a big deal at the time. Almost provoked a nuclear war. So, like, the point of it is, at what point after the raid? Because I know as soon as shit is secure on the ground, you start doing SSC, and then you pack up and get the fuck out. So at what point did, like, you, like, just take a deep breath and realize what the fuck you just did?
When I got back to the hangar, so we landed. I mean, like, we didn't think anybody would make it. We knew there was a good chance that some people would not make it back, right?
Like, yeah.
Something might happen, so we made sure our affairs were in order. But when we landed and I looked around, everybody was alive and okay, you know, for the most part. We accomplished the mission, and I got to do it with my dog, so that was cool. So that's kind of when it really sunk in. Yeah, I'll never forget that moment. It was good. Everybody was okay, and it was done.
Did you guys party afterwards? Like, was there a party inside? Like, I imagine, like, champagne, beers, something. Was there anything like that, or did you just go back out and do another fucking job and that's it?
We went, as soon as we landed, it was cool to see everybody there that could be to support us. I don't know why I didn't expect that, but it was just awesome to see, like, it was late, probably when we landed, it was dark, and everybody showed up.
Well, you've seen those videos in, like, downtown New York and Yankee Stadium and shit when they announced that Bin Laden was dead. People lost their fucking minds.
I mean, dude, everybody knows where they were at that moment. Yeah. Like, that's one of those moments in life where you're like, dude, I know exactly where I was.
Yeah.
For me, I remember reading, it was a tweet by The Rock, ironically. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was like, wait, what?
Did he say something about Bin Laden just smelled what The Rock was cooking? Because that would be
the best.
He should have done that. Let's get a time machine and make that happen.
Yeah, it was The Rock who had the first, like, social media tweet, and then it just kind of trickled out after that. And they said, Obama was going to come on and then make a speech to the nation about
it. But everybody
it
was already,
like,
knew.
Oh, shit. Yeah. But people knew. For you guys, like, I picture it to be like a World Series where you're dousing each other with beer. Was there alcohol? Was there partying? Like, what's the first thing that happens when you land?
Eventually, I went to a bar, a local bar, with Rob, and we definitely partied up. That's for sure.
Oh man, that guy! And he was chain smoking the whole time, I'm sure.
We probably both were. it was a good time. Then we did the little dog and pony show, but it didn't last long.
Yeah.
I was back to work like normal. And then it was kind of surprising how everybody just, it was like, we got stuff to do.
Yeah. I mean, how hard is that for our people out there in the audience that have been in gunfights and shit before? There is like, when there's a lull in the action, you definitely feel fatigued and shit. It's weird. Like the adrenaline goes away and you feel like shit. How is it ramping up for the next operation after just taking down Bin Laden? I mean, that's got to be a mental exercise to get yourself in the right headspace for that.
I was actually excited to be operating again. I was back to being a soldier, not a dog handler anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I've had some problems. It kind of covers in the book. So it was good to be back with my teammates, and I went on deployment, but I got blown up my first op.
Oh, shit. So you got blown up your first op after the Bin Laden?
After Bin Laden?
Yeah, just a little hand grenade. Everybody was okay. Definitely could have been way worse. So it got me. That was kind of the tipping point to my exit out of the Navy.
Yeah. No shit. Oh, yeah. That'll do it.
Fuck, man. That's gnarly.
It definitely could have been worse. I got 2 Forrest Gump wounds. You guys want to see them?
Yes. Let's see your ass.
Yeah.
See it on. Let's
Ray,
do it.
Look, Ray Kerr pulled his dick out on the show yesterday, dude.
of course he did.
You're good, dude.
Funny.
He never fucking stops.
We have pictures because he brought a signed picture of himself, which is on
actually,
the desk.
Yeah, send them to me. That's right.
There's a signed picture of.
We will. And then we've got a picture of the two of us with Ray's dick out over his own picture.
Yep.
So that's how much he loves himself that he put his own dick on his own face.
Yep.
Which was great.
So yeah. Never has any man loved himself more than Ray Kerr loves himself.
I love Ray Kerr. He's a great dude. So
he's a great guy.
He is. Did you get to see Bin Laden's face like after he died? Like you got to see him? Like did everybody go and look at him?
We were around it for a little while, but things were pretty busy.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, after
a job to do, man.
Yeah, just so you know, Ross, after like the site is secure, you do something called sensitive site exploitation, which is basically just searching for fucking shit. Like they found terabytes
computers
of pornography and shit.
Oh, no shit.
You don't know about this? When they inspected the computers later back at whichever agency did that, there was like tons of pornography on Bin Laden's computer.
Really?
You don't remember this? There was a huge story.
No.
Yeah,
did they say what the porn was?
I don't know. No.
I'd be curious in that. I'd be curious in if it was like gay porn or if it was like Mia Khalifa, where it was just like somebody who.
I don't think it was
a
gay.
A wide plethora.
Yeah, I'm
probably.
Sure.
Probably. I don't know. Who knows?
I'm sure you could find out.
Somebody knows. You could probably find
what
out.
What porn did Bin
Yeah, what porn did Bin Laden watch? Yeah, pull it up because I got to know what kind of
Google
porn he was watching. Yeah.
In 2017, they released a huge cache of. It's an extensive collection of modern pornography videos. That's what
modern. Okay.
I don't know what that means. I don't know if they fucking, I don't know if they,
modern's probably like faked huge fake tits and shit like that.
And
he's probably not
incest
watching
porn.
Amateur. Yeah.
Incest porn. Too,
he's not watching like Girl Next Door amateur shit, you know?
Well, but it seems like, they decided not to release the porn stash. I think that would have been great.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Can you imagine
dude?
Some guy getting tried under the National Security Act? Like, hey, you stole classified hard drives. Like, look, I just wanted to see what porn Bin Laden was watching, brother.
That's all, dude. That's all I wanted to see was that porn.
Can
brother?
You imagine if you started a website, binladenporn.com, and it's just all the porn that he watched? And then you create a challenge. You have to watch all the porn that Bin Laden owned.
I think that's a great idea. Like, because think about all the celebrities in history, right? And even though Bin Laden's a piece of shit, he was still famous. But what if you could go through all of their porn history and then you could find out, because I think that would give you a much deeper connection to a celebrity once you knew what kind of porn they were watching.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe.
Learn something new, I guess.
Yeah, because you've got your own sick shit going on. I can tell, obviously, just by looking at
it's
you.
It's by the ridges in his skull, you can tell that there's some weird shit going on over there. It's called phrenology. You may have heard of it. It was disproven 200 years ago.
No, we all got some weird stuff going on, that's for sure.
Goddamn right we do. After the Bin Laden raid with Cairo, where does the dog go next? Because you said you were back to being a soldier again without the dog. Where does the dog go after that?
Sailor.
He was a sailor. I was back to being a shooter. Mm-hmm. Had to give him up. He was a spare dog for the squadron, so he stayed within the family. You know, I'm his dad, and all the other guys are his uncles. And there's a couple of, there's great guys taking care of him. So a couple of MAs mostly, I think, took care of him. So I knew he was in good hands as a spare dog. He was a great dog. It's like one of those plug and play dogs. You know, you still need to keep up the maintenance with him, but if you need him, like, in a, as a spare dog, dogs get shot or injured all the time or killed all the time. He's a great spare dog to plug him into a new handler, you know? So eventually he started showing his old age. You know, he had been shot before the bin Laden mission. So he'd been shot through his arm and through his chest. And as you know, those dogs don't make it through that most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
The situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a large round to go through a small dog.
And it's a large round, and their ability to fight infection is not nearly as good as ours either. So like a small dog like that, I mean, when you get hit with a round like that, that came from a third world country, usually the guy didn't wash his hands before he loaded the round into the fucking magazine. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's got some poop on it.
Probably got some poop.
Yeah, that's why they hit you with the cocktail of antibiotics that could kill anything except for maybe AIDS, I guess.
Poop everywhere. That's a virus. You ever fall in a shit ditch?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I have. It's a funny story. I was in fucking...
What's a shit ditch?
I'm telling you.
It's a shit ditch.
Yeah, and fucking... So, I'm walking down a street.
Exactly what it is.
I'm walking down a paved street in what would be considered a suburban neighborhood in Iraq, right? In southeast Baghdad. And I see a median. It's a median. It's a grass-looking median. And I walk into it, and all of a sudden, I'm up to my dick in shit water.
Oh.
And I had to do the rest of the patrol. Yeah, that was shit-ditch. Yeah, it was a fucking, it was bullshit. Then we had to go do raids after that, and I just had shit dick all day.
Oh, I could smell myself on the helicopter ride home.
I threw the boots. The boots were gone. The fucking pants, the socks, threw them all away. Because fuck that. I'm not keeping that shit around.
What does everybody else who on your team say?
Suffer.
Are they pissed off?
Yes, they hate it.
What are you going to do?
You stupid fuck.
Pants off. Pants off. I'm on a porky pig at home, you guys. Just keep your pants on.
How funny, how intimidating would it be if we invaded a country with no pants? Like we're wearing boots, kits, no pants.
Good
just
luck.
Dicks out. Fuck you.
And yeah, Ray. Ray.
Just cock plates.
Yeah. Ray invaded our set with no pants on 2 days ago.
Oh, that motherfucker. Just won't stop with his nudity all the time.
What kind of dogs do you have now in real life?
I got a couple Malinois. Got a boy. And I got his daughter. She's about 6 months old.
Okay. Right on.
Yeah, they keep me busy.
I bet. Any thought of training them and selling them down the road? We had Mike Ritland on the other day, and he kind of went through the whole process with us of training dogs and selling them and things like that. And I didn't know if that was something that would interest you in the future.
Maybe. Maybe not. I consider myself a decent trainer. I train my own dogs, and I know what I'm doing, but I know how to handle as a dog as an operator. That makes more sense.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's a whole, like, Mike.
He's a dog trainer.
Yeah.
I'm a dog trainer a little bit, but right, he's, like, committed his life to it. And I love it. I love doing dog training. And it maybe down the road, but I love being a handler and an operator, and I can teach that all day long.
Yeah,
that makes more sense.
He definitely went down. I mean, it's a commitment to do what he does. Like when he sells one of these really high priced well trained dogs to a family, he goes and stays in their town for a couple of days or maybe up to a week. Like it's a whole fucking shit show to do that.
Just training those dogs up, and then you're just training the dogs. You got to train the people too. You got to find the proper homes, train train the dogs.
And do you have any, it's based on the book. It seems like, you've got some stories to tell and you're a pretty good storyteller. So do you have any thoughts on maybe writing some fiction like Jack Carr does and some of these other guys like Tyler Gray's working for SEAL Team now and all this stuff? Like, do you have any inclination?
Open for whatever makes sense, man. Just try to keep it respectful. I want to respect all the teammates. And other than that, I'm open to any other opportunities. Maybe a children's book. There's a young adult book. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really, it's keeping it open, man. Everybody loves the first book.
Yeah. It's a good one.
And I'm just going to keep, great feedback. That's very important. I'm just going to keep pushing for it. Whatever comes, we'll see.
Speaking of respecting your teammates, how did you feel when the first book came out about SEAL Team 6?
I was nervous. I just read through it really quick. I didn't know what was going to be in there. My name was going to be in there. So I get what everybody's saying, and I was in the same boat. But, it's a piece of history. It's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
They put Caro's name in the media. There was some stuff that wasn't completely accurate. There's some people that said they had him. I read books before being a SEAL. This is a great book for anybody who joined the military, anybody who wanted to be a handler, anybody who wanted to be a SEAL, anybody who loves dogs. It's a piece of history. I get to tell Caro's story. this truth. Like, that's a big deal to me. I get to bring attention to what these dogs do. They literally sacrifice their life for us. We treat them with the same respect. It brings attention to, like, the foundations, like Mike's foundation, Mike Rutland's, and Jimmy Hatch and Space Bikes Canine Fund and John Devine. They do great things for these dogs that deserve the equipment that they're getting and the healthcare, I guess, they're providing the homes. And then I tell a little bit of my personal story as well. I don't like talking about myself, but a lot of veterans out there that might be having some issues. You know, I went through my own set of issues. Telling my story helps, and perfect. You know, I'll discuss what I've been through and some of the modalities I've used. There's a whole lot of them out there, and there's a whole lot of good people out there. So if my message helps, then cool. If not, then I'll shut up, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you and I have similar stories. Like, I had, as everyone does, a lot of issues. Well, anybody that does, like, kinetic shit, you know, issues kind of transferring all the emotional tools I used over there, like rage and anger and shit like that, into something positive when I got back home, because it's difficult to do that. Over there, it's easy. I mean, not easy, but it's, you know, that part of it's easy at least. But, you know, I've been in some pretty dark places, like a lot of us have, like you have, and my relationship with dogs more than people and some of those cases were what pulled me through, you know what I mean? So it's really interesting. Definitely. I mean, like, it's, no one knows that dog is man's best friend better than somebody that's, you know, gone through this kind of shit, I'd be like.
For sure. Kyra got me through. Like, it just ended up being perfect timing. If I wasn't in my bad place transitioning out, they probably wouldn't have given him to me, because I wouldn't have been able to take care of him as an operator. He was going through my stuff and he was going through his things. I got to take care of him and he took care of me. It really was good for my mental well-being. I think a lot of people can relate to that, man. And I had another dog named Hagen. When Kyra passed, she got me through some tough times. Like, she just passed not too long ago. It hasn't been a year. The dogs I have now got me through that. Everybody can be a good tool to use.
Yeah, for sure.
Who was the first call you made after the Bin Laden raid?
My dad, I would say. I send a text to my mom. She can't hear. But I send a little text out to her. Call my dad.
What's the reaction of that? Because I would have to imagine, like, you couldn't be a prouder father than, you know, first of all, you hear about Bin Laden being killed, and then you find out that it was your son who was actually on the mission and helped and was a part of it. That's got to be the best feeling in the world, I would imagine, right?
He didn't answer.
He fucking hit the fuck you button. He let it ring three times, then he hit the X. and he goes, why the fuck are you calling me? Text me. It's 2011. Text me. Stop trying to leave voicemails.
Is that real? Did he pick up?
Yeah. No, it was a great conversation.
Oh, it was? Okay. Cool.
For sure.
Yeah. Was he crying? Like, I can only imagine. He had to have been crying. Like, that's amazing.
I don't know if he cried, but it was a good conversation, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. This is the point in the show we get to the drinking bro of the week, which is someone who's inspired you or helped you become the man you are today. Who would you like to give the drinking bro of the week to?
Sorry, say that one more time.
The drinking bro of the week. This is the point in the show we get to the drinking bro of the week, which is someone who's helped inspire you or helped you become the man you are today. Who would you like to give the drinking bro of the week to?
I would say Jared Shaw. He is he's so handsome. I don't know who's more handsome, him or Chris Pratt. He's but he's the one who reached out to me when I was in a really bad place. If it wasn't for him, I don't know where I would be right now.
And he worked on.
I definitely wasn't reaching out to people.
Is he Chris Pratt's stuntman?
I don't know exactly what he does,
because he does stunts. He does a lot of stuff.
He doesn't say much.
Yeah.
Like, hey, buddy, what's going on? He's yeah, stuff. Cool. Awesome.
I know he did stuff.
That's our conversation.
I know he worked on one of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, but I don't remember if it was the first or second one.
He's doing really good things. Yeah, he's a good man, crushing it out there. So I reached out to him, and he drugged me to one of the first brain treatment places I went to, and I was in a terrible place.
Which one did you go? Did you go to the one in Colorado, by the way?
I went to one in California through the Brain Treatment Foundation.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Lady Kara Williams. She's amazing. That place is great. Chris actually gave him a shout out not too long ago.
Oh, cool.
Great people.
That's great.
Well, maybe he'll play you in the fucking movie.
Then. Yeah,
he's already been in a movie about that raid, but we could make a new one.
Why not?
Maybe Chris Pratt could play the dog. He could play the dog.
He could be the voice of the dog in the cartoon movie of it.
He just put him in a dog suit.
Yeah,
he could run on all fours. This is Chris Pratt.
He'd be the funniest dog ever.
Yeah, he was.
He's Chris Pratt. He can do anything.
When I found out he was going to play the main character in the Terminalist, I wanted to fucking comment on the thread that, like, hey, why don't you play him all as Andy Dwyer from Parks and Rec? Like, play this fucking murdering sniper as Andy Dwyer. That'd be great.
He's the only reason I watched Zero Dark Thirty, because I'm like, yeah, I don't want to watch it, or maybe turned it off. And I was like, oh, Chris is in there. Yeah, okay, I'll watch it.
They had a huge
Chris Pratt fan.
He is, yeah. I mean,
he's a good man. Like, love him to just say that.
Yeah. No, for legit, real.
Like, he is.
Yeah.
Yep. He's a good dude.
Great God fearing man, that's for sure.
Big fan.
For sure, yeah.
Well, listen, man, you wrote a hell of a book. Go pick up No Ordinary Dog. Mm-hmm. It is available everywhere. Amazon is the.
Yeah.
That's the classiest choice.
And if you've got kids,
48 hours.
If you got kids, Warrior Dog, which is the young readers edition, comes out on June 30th.
Yes. Yes. June 30th. And the audiobook is available everywhere now as well. Man, thank you for being on the show today.
Yeah, it's great, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Cheers. Yes.
Great
thank
time.
You.
Yeah. Cheers, fellas.
For Will, D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone. Thanks again to Omaha Steaks for being the title sponsor of the Tetherball Academy Media Network, including our Drinking Bros family out there. Get yourself some amazing steaks using the link in the show notes. Supporting our partners like Omaha Steaks is one of the best ways you can support our shows so we can keep bringing you the podcast you know and love on a day-in, day-out basis. Thank you to OmahaSteaks.com.
Lowe's knows you want the best for dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to 2 free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20 volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.